بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the discussions on this important book and very beneficial book, the book entitled The Important Lessons to the Muslim Ummah by the Shaykh Abdul Aziz bin Baz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And he rahimahullah, as we said earlier, put in his introduction several surahs and chapters so as the believer reads them, recites them, and then memorizes them and know their meaning. And we have reached now the Surah At-Takathur 102, number 102. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر، كلا سوف تعلمون، ثم كلا سوف تعلمون، كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين، لترون الجحيم، ثم لترونها عين اليقين، ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم. The translation of the meaning: ألهاكم التكاثر, the mutual rivalry for piling up of worldly things diverts you. حتى زرتم المقابر, until you visit the graves, meaning till you die. كلا سوف تعلمون, nay, you shall come to know. ثم كلا سوف تعلمون, again, nay, you shall come to know. كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين, nay, if you knew with a sure knowledge the end result of piling up your, you would not have occupied yourselves in worldly things. لا ترون الجحيم, verily you shall see the blazing fire of hell. ثم لا ترونها عين اليقين, and again you shall see it with certainty of sight. ثم لا تسألن يومئذ عن النعيم, then on that day you shall be asked about the delight you indulged in this world. The beginning, the first verse, ألهاكم التكاثر, the mutual rivalry. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs his ibad, his creation, addressing them by saying ألهاكم التكاثر, indeed the mutual rivalry for piling up of worldly things diverts you from the remembrance of Allah and from obeying Him. And the address is for the entire Ummah, and it is for the entire Ummah except those ones whom the affairs of the hereafter occupies them over the affairs of this life, and they are few. We say they are few because it is affirmed in the authentic hadith reported in the Sahihain, in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. In hadith Al-Bukhari, we take the narration in volume 8, hadith number 537, and the hadith narrated by Abu Sa'id. He said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Ya Adam, O Adam. And Adam will reply, Labbayka wa sa'adayk, I respond to your calls, I am obedient to your orders. Wal khayru fi yadayk, and all good is in your hands. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to Adam, bring out the people of the fire. Adam will say, "What? How many are the people of the fire?" Allah will say, "Min kulli alfin, out of every 1,000, take out 999 persons." At that time, children will become hoary-headed, and every pregnant female will drop her load. And you will see the people as if they were drunk, yet not drunk, but Allah's punishment will be very severe. That news distressed the companions of the Prophet ﷺ too much, and they said, "O Allah's Messenger, أَيُّنَا ذَاكَ الرَّجُلُ or أَيُّنَا ذَلِكَ الرَّجُلُ, who amongst us will be that man, the lucky one, out of 1,000 who will be saved from the fire? قَالَ أَبْشِرُوا فَإِنَّ مِنْ يَأْجُوجَ وَمَأْجُوجَ أَلْفًا وَمِنْكُمْ رَجُلٌ." He said, "Have the good news that 1,000 will be from Gog and Magog, and the one to be saved will be from you." And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام added, "والذي نفسي بيده, by him in whose hand my soul is, إني لأطمع أن تكونوا ثلث أهل الجنة, I hope that you will be 1/3 of the people of paradise." On that we glorified and praised Allah and said, "Allahu Akbar." The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "والذي نفسي بيده إني لأطمع أن تكونوا شطر أهل الجنة, by him in whose hand my soul is, I hope that you will be 1/2 of the people of paradise. إِنَّ مِثْلَكُمْ فِي الْأُمَمِ كَمَثَلِ إِنَّ مَثَلَكُمْ فِي الْأُمَمِ كَمَثَلِ الشَّعْرَةِ الْبَيْضَاءِ فِي جِلْدِ الثَّوْرِ الْأَسْوَدِ أَوْ كَالرَّقْمَةِ فِي ذِرَاعِ الْحِمَارِ." By him in whose hand my soul is, I hope that you will be one half of the people of paradise, as your Muslim's example in comparison to the other people, to the non-Muslims, is like that of a white hair on the skin of a black ox, or a round hairless spot on the foreleg of a donkey. واحد في الجنة, one in paradise and the rest in hell. And this is huge. As to his saying, التكاثر, ألهاكم التكاثر, the mutual rivalry for piling up of worldly things diverts you. This piling up of worldly things includes wealth, includes pride in one's own tribe, and one also, this may include also the worldly things, including the prestige and status, and also knowledge. Anything whereby one would feel the false pride regarding it, this is indicated in the story of the in Surah Al-Kahf, the example of that man who had the garden, when he told his companion, as in Surah Al-Kahf verse 34, "أنا أكثر منك مالا وأعز نفرا." أنا أكثر منك مالا. He had property or fruit, and he said to his companion in the course of a mutual talk, "أنا أكثر منك مالا, I am more than you in wealth, وأعز نفرا, I'm stronger in respect of men." So a person may have this kind of rivalry in his wealth, seeking to be more than others, having more of it and more in the numbers of his tribe, saying, we outnumber you. Or a person also may do this in terms of knowledge, saying to others, I have more knowledge than you. But if the person exceeds his or excels and increases his knowledge in the knowledge of Sharia, then this is praiseworthy, as long as, of course, he does not abuse that and turn to be arrogant. As to the knowledge which is not of the Sharia type, then that is either allowable or forbidden. So this is the case with the children of Adam. Mutual rivalry for piling up worldly things, neglecting the purpose for their presence on earth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse, حتى زرتم المقابر, you continue to do that until you die, until you visit the graves. So man naturally loves to have more until he dies. In fact, as he grows older, his hope or his hopes increase. You find him at an old age with gray hair and with more and more of hope. Find him 90 years of age having hopes and hopes, not even existing with the young of the 15 years age. This is the meaning of this noble verse, meaning you will continue to have this kind of rivalry which busies you, which makes you busy and occupied from thinking about the hereafter until you die. It is also said that hatta zurtum al maqabir, until you visit the graves. It is also said that this means until you will have this kind of rivalry concerning your dead and concerning your living. So the man will say, أنا قبيلتي أكثر من قبيلتك, my tribe outnumbers your tribe, and if you want to know, let's go to the graves and visit the graves and then count the number of graves and we shall see who are more in number. However, this meaning is weak and it's remote, as it is evident from the context of the verse and its flow of the verses. And the previous meaning is the correct one, meaning that you continue on this rivalry until you die. This saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ, was taken by Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, may Allah's mercy be upon him, who is considered as the fifth rightly guided caliph because of his justice. He rahimahullah deduced from this verse, until you visit the graves, that the visitor, that it is inevitable for the visitor to return to his home, and that the graves are not places of residency. The same thing has been mentioned, that some of the Bedouins, or one Bedouin, when he heard a reciter reciting this verse, until you visit the graves, he said, Wallahi mazzairu bimuqim, wallahi lanub'athan. by Allah, the visitor is not staying. Wallahi lanub'athan, by Allah, we shall be resurrected. Because the visitor, as it is known, goes for his visit and returns. So the Bedouin said, Wallahi lanub'athan, by Allah we shall be resurrected, and this is the truth. And from this we know that what is mentioned on the tongue of some people now, on the news or in the newspapers and so forth, when they say something about a person who died, they say, إِنَّهُ انْتَقَلَ إِلَى مَثْوَاهُ الْأَخِيرُ, that he has gone now to his last abode. This is false and futile and a lie, because the graves are not the final abode. In fact, if the person believes in such meaning, then he becomes a kafir concerning the resurrection. Someone who denies the resurrection. And denying the resurrection is apostasy. But many people, they use the words and they don't know what they mean. And this may be inherited from those who deny the resurrection. So therefore we should refrain from using such a statement, meaning we should not say concerning the grave that it is the final abode, because the final abode is either paradise, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that for us, وَإِمَّا النَّارِ فِي يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, or hell on the day of resurrection, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from hell. Then Allah the Most High said, كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ, كَلَّا نَي, كَلَّا نَي, you shall come to know. This is like restrain, fear, stop this rivalry. Also it's said to mean truly you shall come to know. You shall come to know the end of your affairs when you return to the hereafter, and that this kind of rivalry will be of no benefit to you. And it came in the hadith narrated or reported in Muslim from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is in volume 4 in Sahih Muslim, hadith number 7 or 61. يقول ابن آدم مالي 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 ومالي, يعني يفتخر به, وليس لك من مالك إلا ما أكلت فأفنيت, أو لبست فأبليت, أو تصدقت فأمضيت. In this hadith, one of the companions came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم while he was reciting Al-Hakum al-Takathur, abundance diverts you. He said, the Prophet ﷺ said, the son of Adam claims, my wealth, and he acting in pride about it. And he ﷺ said, O son of Adam, is there anything as your belonging except that which you consumed, which you utilized, or which you wore, and then it was worn out, or you gave as charity and sent it forward? So what remains is left for others, and this is the truth, the wealth we have in our hands. either that we eat it and consume it, or we use as clothes and it will be worn out, or that we give it in charity and it will be sent forward, and it will be sent forward for us on the day of resurrection, or that we leave it behind to others. So this is how wealth is distributed. Actually doesn't exceed this four type of divisions. كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Nay, you shall come to know. The end of your affairs. And you shall come to know. What? You shall come to know concerning this, yourself busying yourself concerning abundance, rivalry, having more, which diverted you from the hereafter. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, nay, you shall come to know. This is affirmation of the previous verse. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين. Nay, truly if you know with sure knowledge the end result of piling up, then you will come to know that it is misguidance. But you don't really truly know, because you are negligent, occupying yourselves in worldly things. And had you really known, then you would come to admit that you were in misguidance and in grave error. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. Verily you shall see the blazing fire of hell. لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. This is a new statement. And therefore the reciter should stop when he recites as follows, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. Nay, if you know with sure knowledge, you should stop. And we hear so many people reciting, many imams in their salah reciting this as follows. They go like this, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمَ. They don't stop. This continuity and connection of the verse 6 with verse 5 either is due to negligence or forgetfulness, or it's possible that they don't contemplate the meaning of the verse. Had they done so properly, then they would know that connecting it with the previous statement corrupts the meaning. Because when he says, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمَ. Nay, if you knew with the sure knowledge, verily you shall see the blazing fire. And he doesn't stop. Then the seeing of the blazing fire will be conditional with their knowledge. And this is incorrect. And therefore, we should give this the proper attention. Meaning, if you hear someone reciting this verse, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينِ لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ, should remind him وَيَقُولُ لَهُ, and tells him this type of recitation connecting the two statements may imply a corrupt meaning. So don't do that, and stop with the end of verse 5. Nay, if you knew with a sure knowledge, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. And we know that the legality of recitation is to stop at the end of each ayah. and secondly that connecting the two corrupts the meaning. So therefore لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ, you shall see the blazing fire. This is a new statement unrelated with the former one, and this is an oath statement, جملة قسمية, which means والله لترون الجحيم, by Allah you shall come, you shall see the blazing fire. الجحيم, this is one of the names of hell. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterated this as an affirmation by saying ثم لترونها عين اليقين, ثم لترونها عين اليقين, and again you shall see it with certainty of sight. It will be seen on the day of resurrection. يؤتى بها تجر بسبعين ألف زمام. It will be pulled with 70,000 bridles, each pulled by 70,000 angels. So what would you think? وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, we seek refuge in Allah concerning this fire, a great one, 70,000 bridles, each bridle pulled by 70,000 angels, and the angels are great and magnificent. So therefore it's a magnificent, it's a great, great fire. We seek refuge in Allah from hell. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, then on that day you shall be asked about the delight you indulged in this world, the delight, meaning on that day. The ulama, may Allah's mercy be upon them, differed as to who is addressed in this verse, you shall be asked. As to whether the kafir is, or the believer and the kafir. The correct opinion, أن المراد المؤمن والكافر, both the kafir and the mu'min, the mu'min and the kafir. Each will be asked about the na'im, the delight. However, the kafir will be asked in a way of scolding, and the believer will be asked as reminding, and the evidence that the question is in a general form comes in the story of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with Abi Bakr and Umar, with Abi Bakr and Umar, and in this hadith which is narrated by Abu Huraira, and it is in Sahih Muslim. Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, said once during a day or a night, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out and found Abu Bakr and Umar, may Allah be pleased with them both, and he said, what has brought you out of your homes at this hour? They replied, hunger, al-ju', hunger, O Allah's Messenger. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa ana, and me too, والذي نفسي بيده, by him Allah in whose hand my soul is, I too have come out for the same reason, لأخرجني الذي أخرجكما قوموا, I too have come out for the same reason for which you have come out. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them both, come along, and he went along with them to a man from the Ansar, from the helpers. But they did not find him in his house. The wife of that man saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "You are welcome." Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her, saying, "Where is so and so?" She replied, "He has gone to fetch some water for us." In the meantime, the Ansari man came, saw Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his two companions and said, "All the praise and thanks to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Ma ahadun al-yawm akramu adyafan minni." Allahu Akbar. "All praise and thanks to Allah, today there is none superior to me as regard guests." قال فانطلق. So he went and brought a part of bunch of date fruit, having dates, some still green, some ripe, and some fully ripe, and requested them to eat from it. كلوا من هذه, eat from this. And then he took his knife to slaughter for them a sheep. فَقَالَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "إياك والحلوب." Beware, don't slaughter a milk sheep. So he slaughtered a sheep, prepared the meals from its meat, and they ate from that sheep and that bunch of dates and drank water after they had finished eating and drinking to their fill. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Bakr and Umar, "والذي نفسي بيده لتسألن عن هذا النعيم يوم القيامة." By him whose hand my soul is, you will be asked about this meat on the day of resurrection. أخرجكم من بيوتكم الجوع. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brought you out of your homes with hunger. ثم لم ترجعوا حتى أصابكم هذا النعيم. And you are not returning to your homes till you have been blessed with this meat. And this is evidence that the one who will be asked is the believer and the kafir. But the question may differ. سؤال المؤمن, the questioning, or the question addressed to the believer will be a kind of reminder concerning the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him so that he becomes pleased and comes to know that the one who gave him the favors in this life of this world will give him from his favors on the day of resurrection. As to the kafir, it will be scolding and would make him feel sorrow and pain. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to use us in his obedience and to make the sustenance which he bestowed upon us as a means and help on his obedience. He is able to do all things. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.